World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, Spencer, if you would, I sent you a picture there. This is what I woke up to this morning. I just sent it right there at the end. Did not come through off my phone. Sometimes they don't come through off my phone. It didn't come through. Looked outside, there's snow on the ground. Snow on the ground this morning. Now, Spence, I sent it off of my phone. That doesn't mean you got it, right? Internet, outer net, upper net, down. I mean, it's crazy. But we got some snow. Got some snow here on what would be Veterans Day, I guess. And we honor all the veterans and those who are willing to.
Veterans Day is on the 11th, Coach. It's on the 11th, sir.
Yeah, I know that, but we celebrate it today, do we not? Aren't the banks and everything, aren't the post offices closed today? I think. Because they make everything a 3-day holiday. Isn't that what's happened to us?
They don't even close. They don't even close for veterans.
Not until Wednesday.
Okay, cool. So, well, anyway, 11-11. Yeah, I got it. Anyway, it snowed. I guess that's what I want to say here. Look, man, I'm not griping and moaning. Just bear with me a second here. I get so overloaded with stuff. God bless you. Keep sending me stuff. Keep sending me stuff. Because now at least you're alert and you're awake of what's going on. And I was on a little bit of a rant before we went live this morning, just talking about the fact, because my wife, God, I love my wife so much. She's so honest with me. And she says, honey, you say the same thing every day. And I said, listen, the solution to every problem we have in America is Christ and the church. It's not republicanism. It's not conservatism. It's not the government. It's not your local mayor. It's none of that. The whole creation groaneth waiting for the manifestation. Manifestation, to manifest means to show up. Spencer, they don't believe me. Go there real quick. Mr. Webster, manifest, plain, open, clearly visible. The whole creation's groaning, waiting for it to be clearly visible to the eye, the sons of God. You know what it says that, doesn't it? And yet, what are we seeing in American Christianity? The church is retreating from the battle. The church is hiding. They don't want to be involved. And yes, some of it's 501c3. Most of it's cowardice. Most of it is just friggin' cowardice. Have any idea how many friends I've lost? You have any idea how many friends I've gained? I mean, it's kind of a trade, right? Some of those people I used to be friends with, I'm probably pretty glad I'm not friends with them anymore, right? But when you tell the truth, Bible says you're going to be hated of all men. You're going to be hated of all men. Jesus said that. When you speak the truth, you're going to be hated of all men. Now, ask yourself this. Is the modern American church willing to be salt and be hated? Is your pastor, our pastors, I'm not criticizing anybody. I battle with it here. I know right now that there's some topics that if I bring up, people are going to leave. And why? They're going to suck on their thumb because they don't believe that. And so they're going to leave. But I said to my wife, she says, say it anyway. Huh? Say it anyway. Well, that's kind of where I am. Say it anyway. And I don't know about you guys. I'm working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. At the end of the day, when I stand before the Lord, and he's going to say to me, Coach, why didn't you point this out? And I'm going to say, I didn't want to make Betty mad. Huh? Oh, yeah, I didn't want Randy to get angry with me. Oh, I didn't want, no, I didn't, I, no, Lord, I wasn't going to go there. So he says, you had the opportunity to witness for me and you held back? I thought you loved me. I thought you were one of my servants. I thought you were the salt of the earth. And you're out there, Coach, I was counting on you to speak the truth and poke bear. I was counting on you to do that. Why'd you quit doing that, Coach? Well, because I didn't want to, so-and-so. Well, then people would stop listening. Anybody tracking with me? And that's where we are. It's where at the end of, at the, when I get up in the morning, it's two people I want to please, my wife and the Lord. Sometimes those two aren't in order. Should be the Lord and then my wife, but I could be honest, sometimes it isn't, right? How many times out there do you not tell your spouse the truth? Because you love them, you don't want to hurt their feelings. And is it ever okay? Is it ever okay to lie to somebody? The truth sets you free. Lies don't, the lies never set you free. Truth does. And what do we know? Jesus said, if you tell them the truth, Matthew chapter 5, they're going to hate you. See, kind of the way it is. They're going to hate you. They're going to hate you. I was thinking yesterday, stay right there a second, Spence. I'll come to that in a second. Without getting into the details of it, locally, a local pastor's son-in-law passed away. This weekend. Young, vibrant guy, 40, I don't know, maybe he's 40 years old. You know, it's sad, right? It's always sad. So I had to have a little discussion with my grandson yesterday about life and death and, you know, the spirit and the soul and all that kind of stuff. And then to know that that family, a Christian family, was in disarray. They didn't even speak. One's dying, and the other, who's a pastor, they don't even speak. They don't even speak. And you look across the spectrum, look at your own life, and how many families are broken? How many of you can't say this to this son, and you can't say this to this daughter, and don't even have a relationship, the kids don't even come over anymore? And we're not smart enough to understand that it all centers on the fact of the truth. It's only the truth that will set you free. And when you speak the truth, sparks fly. But you have to also understand that same truth comes back to you. You got to look in the mirror, baby. We all got to look in the mirror where we also are missing the mark. Yep, a lot going on. And, the American, here's kind of where I want to go here today. The American system of government is no good without truth. It's no good without a foundation of truth. And to see our elected officials openly lie without any consequences. It's staggering, really. Does anybody like to be lied to? Nobody likes to be lied to. Why do we put up with a politician just laughing? Oh, well, he's politician. He's pol-. See, they're going to end the government shutdown now. They're voting to end the government shutdown. What does that even mean? How do we get to the point where there were just two teams? Just the Republicans and the Democrats, just two teams. That's all. A yin and a yang. I'm going somewhere, but stay with me today. Because here's what really got me going this morning. I got a good piece from David Arthur, and we'll share with you here in a second. Let me find it. I want you to. I did. Did you guys know this? You guys know this? So what, Coach? Did you know that the bomber? You know who the bomber is? The J6 bomber. They know who it is. Did you know that? They know who it is. In fact, back when the first J6, you guys remember all that story about the J6 bomber? They left the bomb outside of the Democratic headquarters, and nobody could figure out who the bomb was. We had a picture of the bomber and a picture walking to the bomber, and nobody really investigated it because they wanted to go lock up Bill Dunphy. They wanted to make sure they went and got Bill Dunphy. They didn't want to get the J6 bomber. They just kind of brushed it off the end. Well, now we find out why. Well, J6 bomber was an inside job. Have you guys seen this? You see it anywhere? It's not on the news anywhere, right? It's not on the news. The bomber, number nine, is that what you have? Number nine up there? Yeah. Did you guys even know that this, did you guys know that this even existed? Look, stay right there. So there. Report a gait analysis. In other words, they could take film of you walking and do an analysis and determine whether or not that's you. So that person right there that you see on your screen with a hooded sweatshirt on, we all remember this, right? On J6, that a bomb was planted outside the Democratic headquarters. Do you know why that was done? Because it was in case the other insurrection didn't work. And if it didn't work, then they're going to blow up this bomb outside the Democratic headquarters because they wanted to make it look like it was these MAGA idiots that were going around blowing up the Democrats. You with me? Okay. So they had to picture this guy. How long has this been? How long has this been since January 6th? What year was that? January 6th. And nobody could figure out who it was. Well, they knew how to figure out who it was. And here's who it is. Are you ready for this? Some girl from Columbus, Ohio. She went to Olentangy High School. Hang on a minute. Have you guys seen this on the news? Have you seen this? Shouldn't this be the lead news? That this girl working for the FBI is the one who planted the bomb. Former Capitol Police Officer, forensic match, J6 bot pipe bomber. She worked for the Capitol Police. She planted the bomb, and then she got, she got promoted. Isn't that something? And they knew it. They could have done this all along, right? Why didn't they? Why didn't they? Because we don't understand the depth of evil that we're dealing with. This girl played goalie at Olentangy High School. Maybe it's Liberty. It's four Olentangy schools in northern suburbs of Columbus. She looks like a sweetheart. But they do a gait analysis. How long have they known this? Hey, Betty, how long do you think they've known this? If it's her. Folks, how long do you think they've known this?
All along.
Come on. They've known. And what do we do with her? She's just following orders. That's all she was doing. She's a good girl, and she went and they did a gait analysis. It's amazing. It's amazing. So what we're seeing, friends, whether we want to come to this realization or not, we are seeing that the only side that can win this battle is the Christian side, and the Christian side does not want to get involved. They don't want to get involved in it. They want to get raptured out of here, right? Now, pull up number 10, because this, to me, is really, really critical. I'm kind of all over the place. It's Monday, right? Hey, folks, 460 people were imprisoned by a fake insurrection. How many lives were destroyed? 1,200 have been charged. 460 imprisoned. That was a year ago. It was January 5th, 2024. These bastards knew it and put them in jail. They knew it. You know what's even worse? Most of the people that you hang out with believed it. They believed Bill Dunphy led an insurrection. They freaking believed it. They believed it. Our own government, both sides, friends, both sides. Folks, you better look at me. Republicans didn't try to get those guys out.
Boom.
The Republicans didn't stand up and scream, oh, no, that was a setup. No, they didn't do that, did they? No, they didn't do it. They let all these people go to jail. They let them go to jail. But justice rolled down like a mighty river. They knew it. Pelosi set it up. They were in cahoots. It's all out there. It's all out. Hey, Spencer, I want to see something right now. Just Google real quickly because I'm going to show you what we're dealing with here. Google, Spencer. J6 bomber exposed, and see if there's any mainstream media coverage on it. FBI share some. Does anybody see NBC, ABC, CNN, Fox News? Anybody see any articles at all? Anybody see any? The expose? No. Oh, wait a minute, J6. They're believed to be, well, click on that. What does it say? A pipe bomb found near Jace. This is an old story, right? There aren't any new stories on it. They found it's all fraud, and there aren't any stories on it. There aren't any stories. So we're living in an information-controlled world, just so that you know it. Some young girl, goalie at Olentangy Liberty, I think it was in the military. And somebody gave her the assignment of going and placing that bomb, and she did it. And now they're going to hang her out to dry, aren't they? Huh? Oh, yeah. What? Wait a minute. J6 bomber, an ex-Capitol Police cop who now works for the CIA. Anybody seen this on Fox News? Huh? CNN? Anybody? Huh? Because why? The whole thing ties together as a hoax. Okay, I'm going to, there it is. Got to read it. Got to read it if you want. Folks, there ain't any doubt. Glenn Beck has a, Glenn, this is not the B. Go to glennbeck.com if you can real quick, because Glenn Beck is all over it. He's one of the guys that's, he's trying to expose it. Well, maybe it is. I don't know if it's on there or not. That's where I saw Glenn Beck. He's the one that's really, really going on with it. It's not there. Anyway, okay, hang on. Hang on. Let me pull up number 7, because I want to read this to you real quickly, and then I'm going to open it up. I got a lot more stuff. By the way, when I wrote this commentary, News with Use, I titled it, Says Who? That's the title I put on it, Says Who? But when I submitted it to News with Views, they changed the title. And so this is the theme here at Coach Dave Live. This is the theme. So will you bear with me while I read this? Because I think it's pretty important, okay? As many of you know, I wrote it on November 7th. As many of you know, I host a daily podcast. I've been doing it every morning at 7 a.m. for over 7 years. My audience isn't large, but it's thought-provoking, especially if you're interested in learning the truth. Show's interactive. It's audience participation. The listeners can ask questions, make statements, opine, and vent. I never claim to be an expert on Christianity or culture, but I like to tell the viewers that I can read and I can think. The show's not sycophantic, meaning you don't have to agree with me. The host is not some six-foot icicle who stands in the pulpit and tells the congregation what the Bible says. We daily throw a piece of meat on the table and all of us chew over it. And then the Bible tells us that in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. So at Coach Dave Live, your 2 cents is worth 2 cents. Somebody give me a thumbs up, say, yeah, that's pretty much truth. That's pretty much the way it is here, right? Yeah, Coach Dave, he goes on for about 30 minutes, then he opens it up and you can say whatever the heck you want to say. Throw your theological position and opinion on the table and let's have at it. Of course we have disagreements, but at the end of the hour, we're all still friends and we all have heard a different perspective on the times in which we live and what our faith requires us to do. Yet each one believes that they are teaching the truth. Everybody, whatever your position is theologically, you believe it's true. And I honor that and I respect that. But that doesn't mean I have to agree that it's true, okay? Stay with me. I'm old enough to remember when President Ronald Reagan coined the phrase, trust but verify. You guys remember that? Trust but verify? We're dealing with the Soviet Union. On our daily show, we try to use the same process. Most Christians have been members of the same denomination for their entire life. Huh? Yeah, oh yeah. Perhaps the mantra would be, my pastor says it, I believe it, and that settles it. But does it? How do you know if what your pastor's telling you is the truth? By the way, that's one of our themes here, isn't it? You could simply walk across the street to another church and hear a different version of the truth from another pastor. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Say, yeah, that's right. That's right. Which pastor and which denomination actually has a corner on the truth? Anybody getting nervous? We have a rule that we try to follow, Coach Dave Live. When someone makes a comment regarding what the Bible says, we simply ask a question. Who told you that and why do you believe him? Who told you that, and why do you believe it? By the way, mainstream media can't find anything on his pipe bomber. Can't find anything. What? Often their response is shallow and unconvincing. How do you know what the man in the pulpit is telling you is the truth? How do you know that the guy at your denomination is telling you the truth? Jeff, no, am I allowed to ask that question? Is it okay for me to ask that? When I go in there and I sit in there for an hour, how do I know he's telling me the truth? Reagan said, trust but verify. Do you think the average person trusts but verify, or does the average person believe whatever makes them feel comfortable? Yep, that's right. Where's Ronald Reagan when we need him? My friends, so much of what they're telling us today is not the truth. Religion, like lifestyle, is often passed down from one generation to another. Read Psalm 78, and it speaks to the religious tradition. Some traditions are good, others maybe not so much. So let me switch gears on you a second. If it's true, and it is, that most denominations are based solely on religious traditions of their denomination, in which the adherents were raised, how much more have we been brainwashed regarding history in America and the democracy that we're supposedly trying to protect? By the way, we're not a republic. We're a republic, not a democracy. Why do our elected officials repeatedly call it a democracy? Don't they know better? They know better, don't they? They're calling it a democracy on purpose. We're a democratic republic. And, okay. They're hoping you don't understand. So let me try to tie this whole thing together. As I watched the election results last night, I was reminded again just how gullible the American public's become. 24 years after Muslims, so they tell us, attacked New York, the Big Apple swallowed the big lie and elected a Muslim mayor. Pardon me, but how in the hell has that happened? What are they teaching in America's public schools? Perhaps we should begin to ask ourselves how America got so off course. Remember the question, who told you that? And why should you believe him? Here you go. Here's some lies. You ready? Diversity is our greatest strength. Who are you to judge? Jesus loves everybody. I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Oswald killed Kennedy. Airplanes brought down the towers. I was born this way. Take the jab. Wear a mask. We have alpha mates. Preborn children are not people. I never had sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. WMDs. Don't mix religion and politics. Tyler killed Charlie Kirk. Biden is sharp. Our elections are honest. J6ers killed the police. Everybody goes to heaven. Television. Vinny, that would be a boom. Right there, that would be a boom. All of those things they told us, none of them true. Our nation is submerged in lies. Truth-telling is a thing of the past. Honesty is gone with the wind. Deception has replaced honesty as a virtue, meaning the best liars get promoted. New York elected a 34, think about that, 34 years old? A 34-year-old radical Muslim as mayor. And as Forrest Gump famously said, stupid is stupid does. The average American is gullible and stupid. And they vote to spend more money on government schools, illegals, and government handouts. Oh, yeah, well, I went to public school and I turned out okay. Oh, yeah? Says who? It's a boom, isn't it? So it's going to lead me into what David Arthur wrote today and sent to me. David, they're lying to us, right? Did you have that email, Spencer? Did I throw that up there to you this morning? Yeah. Go ahead, Dave. Go ahead.
Absolutely. It's what they're when they tell you something, they're saying it matter-of-factly, right? Like
it's real.
Like
it's real, right?
Like it's just part of their sentence. Like homosexual sin versus heterosexual sin, right? There's no such thing. Sin is sin. Because do we have the liar sin versus the truth teller sin? So the more that they can make things normalized, the easier it is to continue to pull the wool over our eyes. Did you want me to read that, Coach?
Sure, go ahead.
So I'm not sure who needs to hear this, but as I was answering some emails and working on some notes for another video, it struck me that so many of us are what we're doing for an expected result. We do everything expecting a result. And as I was chatting with a brother the other day, he ran for the school board, but he didn't get the seat. And that's when it really hit me. And I had to share with him something that I had to embrace years ago. And sadly, I think sometimes I lose track of it. But now I'm going to share it with everybody. I never go into a school board meeting or into the state house to testify or even give testimony with an expectation of actual results.
David. In other words, you know when you go and testify, they ain't going to listen to you, right?
Exactly. You know, but I'm not going there for the school board. Right. I'm not going there to convince them to do the right thing. I'm going there so that room full of people and everyone listening online can hear the truth. Same thing with the state house. They are legislators already know what they're going to do before they even finish reading the bill. They already know what they've been paid to do most of the time before the bill even pops up. And so I don't go to these meetings or in to testify expecting them to do
them.
Because they're already convinced of, they already have their own convictions. And so all of the people within the sound of my voice get to hear what? The truth. Even one of the things that I realized in Columbus when we were going to the abortion mill a lot was that that wasn't really about changing people's minds as much as it was taking that opportunity to stand on the mountaintop and scream the truth and pour out ever so freely, right?
Amen.
What was poured into us ever so freely.
You don't go to the abortion clinic to save the babies, although you hope you can. You go to be a witness to the truth so the people can't say, I didn't know.
Exactly. I don't go to an event and I don't go testify. I don't go preach with an expectation. When I first began ministry, I used to expect someone to get up and run to the front of the altar, right, and fall on the podium.
Oh,
and,
I had it wrong, David. Thanks for
and cry.
Eyes,
oh, man. Yes, help me pray and change my life. Where they surrender to the Christ, right, or they denounce homosexuality. But His Holy Spirit led me and revealed so many different things to me as I was able to grasp the reality that I was just one of many voices crying out in the wilderness, and that all of our voices matter, and that I was not supposed to have any expectations because the goal is only to be heard, to drop the truth, those
to
nuggets,
be a witness.
Right,
to be a witness.
And hope that those nuggets are picked up and received and accepted, even when they're disagreed with or hated, right? The goal is not to make the school board vote the right way. The goal is to make sure that the school board hears the truth so that the entire room hears you, and so that the school board who are making those decisions can be held accountable when they stand before the God,
Amen.
Before God Almighty. The same thing with everybody else. It's to make sure that the Christ is revealed to the legislators and the truth is presented to them so that when He separates the goats from the sheep, they will know why they're being sent to slaughter. The goal is, while giving testimony, to give those trapped in deviant and perverted behaviors the hope that freedom is not only available to them, but they are able to experience freedom from whatever their strongholds are, whatever their perversions are.
So David, the truth of it is, I want to move along here a little bit. Of course they were born that way. They're born into sin. We're
exactly.
all born into sin. And the
we are all born
away
that
with
way.
Saying, I was born that way. Hell yes, you were.
Yeah. See, we spend too much time, Coach.
Born again.
We spend too much time trying to be within that spirit of rebellion, right? When they say, well, I was born that way. No, you weren't born that way. Yes, they were born that way. We're all born that way, whatever that is for each of us. That's just the truth. We're all born into sin. We're shaped in iniquity. Iniquity at its root means perversion. So we're all shaped in perversion. That's the devil's ultimate goal, is to pervert everything that God has done and created.
And then we waste our time and effort telling them they're not born that way when they were.
Exactly. It's the same thing with Words Matter, right? What you were just talking about, and how they say all these things, and we're a democracy. No, we're a democratic republic. But it's the same thing when you hear the pastors or the preachers say, well, there's, you know, I understand that there's homosexual sin and heterosexual sin. No, there's not. There's sin is sin. If you say there's homosexual sin, then you're saying that homosexuality is not only a sexual orientation, which it's not. But you're saying that it's innate and it's unchangeable. It's something that God put in you, and it's not. It's something that you were born into.
Okay,
and
so David, I'm going to shift here a little bit. I get Michelle and I have 10 grandkids. We didn't have to teach any of them to lie.
That's right. You don't have to teach children how to lie or cheat or manipulate or sneak. It comes natural to them. That's why we all have to be born again that way. Yes. Jesus said, be born again. It's Amen. So simple, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but we spend the whole, you know, thousands of years now telling it people, especially children, oh, well, just be yourself. No, Jesus said, deny yourself. You can be anything you want to be. Oh, except that, right? So it's just the words matter. And we've fallen away from that.
Craig Mickle, come on in. Good illustration, Dave. Come on in, Craig.
Well, I mean, I think what Dave's saying, and I keep encouraging him, we're all watchmen on the wall. Whether we want to apply that or not, that's up to us, okay? And whenever you see something, you know, we're supposed to say something, right? That's a, you know, Department of Homeland Security thing. And we as Christians need to take that to heart. Okay. And our responsibility is to relay the information. And at that point, we're done. But we also pray for the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Witness to
grab,
them.
To grab.
What you're doing is wrong. We witness to them.
And we're also inviting the Holy Spirit into the fight. And by, you know, David going to where he's going and others going to where they're going, you have gone into the depths of the, you know, into the fire, if you will, and you've spoken truth and you've invited the Holy Spirit in there. So you just wrap it up in prayer and let God work. But also the other thing, too, with this is, okay, just because they're not going to change their ways doesn't mean the judgment of God isn't going to fall at some point on these folks. And you know, that's going to be a day of reckoning, and it's not to have pleasure in from our standpoint, but we were the agent that God used to tell them to change your ways.
So Craig, my wife and I went to Sam's Club this last week and was storing up food. Hope you guys are doing that too. And I saw this great big bottle of M&M peanuts. Oh, by the way, it's almost gone. Bottle's almost empty. Because every time I took a handful and ate them, I said to myself, I'm not going to eat anymore. This is all I'm going to eat. And you know what happened 10 minutes later? I was back getting another handful. Because why? We're born into sin. And that temptation, that desire to feed the flesh is always there. Whether it be sexually, whether it be eating too much. Huh? Now look. I'm as against homosexuality as much as anybody, but what about obesity? Are we allowed to talk about that? That's a pretty grave sin as well, is it not? Huh? Gluttony. So again, folks, what point David is making is we are all born that way. We are. We have to get born again, because then we have the power to say no to sin when we didn't have the power before. Jeff Nell, come on in.
Yeah, I was at the school board meeting last month, and it was terrific, except for City Walker, Cynthia Walker. She mentioned Washington, Oregon, and California, so she needs a lot of work. But at the end of the meeting, I had to go to the bathroom, and I came around the door, and there was the lawyer, a male. And ever since the lesbian was there, this idol knocks the First Amendment right out the ballpark. You cannot say anything, hardly anything.
Right.
And the Bible says, you know, Matthew 28, you will make disciples of all nations. And
yep. Amen. Craig.
Well, I have Spencer pull up Romans 1:18, and this ties into what David's doing and others are doing here. Okay, I got the New King James, but I'll read it. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness," including M&Ms, "and unrighteousness of men."
Michelle, give me some M&Ms.
But this is the thing, I think, where, you know, David's really going to the, you know, to the lion's den, who suppress truth and unrighteousness. So what those folks are doing when he's going up there, they are suppressing the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest to them.
That's right.
That's David Arthur. He's manifesting the truth of God, and as a witness that, hey, I've been there, brother, and you don't want to go there. So and then, of course, what happens? The God turns them over to vile things. Keep reading. We all have heard this before. And you know what the thing is? Where our culture is, this is a barometer, because of unclean lusts and hearts and women having desire for women. This is exactly where we're at.
So Craig, without the power and the control of the Holy Spirit, the average man would be sleeping with anything that walks. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? And so I think about the commitment my wife and I made to each other. Does that mean she's never tempted by another man? I'm never tempted by another woman? No, but we're born again, and we have the ability to say, no, I'm not going to do that. And we've lost all that. We've lost all of that by making the excuse that we're born that way. And so that's an excuse.
Well, another thing that's is playing out, which ties into, you know, saving God's children, is this pornography in your face, on your phone. You can watch it, you know. You don't have to go to the store or the peep show.
You know it's wrong. You know it's wrong.
Right, but the devil's given us these technological tools, right? And this has synergized all these bad behavior, these gluttony things. I mean, just think of every store that you walked in, Coach, had M&Ms as soon as you walked in the front door. Do you know how hard it would be for you? But you have that right on that little phone device.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Craig, I would circle around and buy them on my way out so nobody knew it. That's what I would do. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, I've learned to see myself every time I'm a witness in a situation, talking with people, ministering anywhere. Look at it like God is there and is present, and he's the judge. He's in a courtroom judicial proceeding, and he wants to bring the gospel to people. He wants to change their life. We are the witness, the living witness. We are an eyewitness. What does God say? He says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, I will establish everything. Okay, so Coach, when we do anything, I mean everything we do, we are being a witness.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit's there. God is, he is love, but he is also judgment. So as we love people, we are bringing judgment to them in the moment. As it has, the judge just says, look, you're guilty. You're going to die. You need Christ to give you a way out. And then you still got to pay the price and do your time or whatever. That's justice. But we have to see ourselves as the agent of the in the judicial process right in that moment. And when we understand that, and that's why we do the stones, that's why we take down the evil. That this is so people can see the gospel, see the light, and hear it. And like Jeff Nell out there, Coach, the time he has done this, now the fruit is starting to show up because he has been a witness so long. Right. He has right. been telling them so long. And now they're finally going, look, we've thrown this guy out and thrown him out. And now he keeps coming back. And it's going to bear fruit because we are the agent on the earth filled with the Holy Spirit that God is needing to bring judgment.
So, folks, if Jeff Nell were to run for school board, Christians wouldn't vote for him. You understand that, right? Christians wouldn't vote for him. Does anybody know why they wouldn't vote for him? Come on, why wouldn't they vote for him?
Because he's a Christian.
No. Well, yes, but no. No.
They'd be convinced that they didn't have the courage to step up and speak the truth.
He's too judgmental. He's too judgmental. He's too religious. Christians I'm talking to, right? That's how we've been brainwashed. When a guy like him stands up, the church hates him. The church hates him because he isn't loving. Doesn't appear to be loving. Because we don't even know what love is. We don't even know what that don't even know what it means. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, the train my hands to war applies here. And what Randy just said was, in the witnesses, two or more, right?
Yeah.
You can put stones down because you're a sniper alone, great. Or when you go to the school board meeting, if you go alone, you can't be a sniper because you're going to get killed because you're in plain sight. It Amen. Takes a couple. When I stand up at the school board meeting and I'm the only one that stands up, there's no winning. You're just making people crazy. But if there's two or more witnesses, right. then you have effect. And two or more witnesses are going to come at it because they're personal. They're going to come at it from a different perspective. So it's going to hit the audience differently. It's going to hit the board or the legislators differently. Show up, for goodness sakes.
So, Jack, tell me this. Somebody explain it to me. I don't know what it is, folks, where you live. But here in Ohio, we have property taxes, and our property taxes fund the schools. Now, we know what's going on in the schools, right? We all know that the mess that we're in is because of the public schools. We all understand that, right? And you know what happened here? They voted more money for the public schools. Christians voted more money for the public. How does that happen? How in the heck does that happen? Other than what? Oh, we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. Evil men have crept in, changed the truth of God into a lie. Let me give you an example. Are you ready? Pull up number four. We're up number four. And I can tell you this, I have personally witnessed what you are about to see right here. I have personally witnessed. This is a man outside the abortion clinic, and a pastor comes up to him. Go ahead.
Bless you. I'm doing good.
Hey, I noticed you got a Bible here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, why are you bringing the, why are you carrying a Bible?
Because I'm a Christian.
Yeah, me too.
Oh,
I'm an ordained minister as well.
Oh, cool. Where are you ordained at?
My only request.
Wait, why do you have a request for me?
Yeah.
I don't even know. You haven't even told me your name.
I'm Dave.
Dave, my name is Juan.
All right, Juan.
Why are you giving me requests? Women are killing their babies here. Do you have a request for them?
My request is just that, like...
How often do you preach here?
Policy preferences?
How often do you preach here? You don't preach here. The Bible says to bring the gospel to all creation.
So
right now you're giving me a reference. Look at these women killing their babies. You have nothing to say about them.
What have I said
so
far?
You only have something to say to me.
What have I said so far?
Why don't you say something to them?
What have I said so far?
But what, my question,
what have I said so far?
No,
you're jumping to a lot of conclusions.
No, you're not listening to me. Why haven't you said something to them?
Why
do you have something to say to me? Yeah.
You're jumping to a lot of conclusions.
I didn't jump to any conclusion. I asked you a question.
What have I said so far?
I didn't say you said anything. I'm asking you a question. Why are you speaking to me and not to the women killing their children? Why are you stopping me from ministering the gospel?
I can speak to anyone who I want to.
So can I.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my question, and you don't have to answer it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right? But like, why are we bringing the Bible into this? And here's my thinking.
Yeah. This is an ordained minister, and he asked me, why am I bringing the Bible into this?
Yeah.
That's what he just asked me. Why am I bringing the Bible into abortion clinics? That's what he just asked me.
Is the hypothesis that God is pro-life? God of the Bible is pro-life.
My friend, we don't have time for you. Ma'am, I want you to know that God loves your baby. We'd love to help you. Please don't kill your baby. Ma'am, please don't kill your baby. We're here to talk to you.
What about the Amalekite children?
Sir, you're not a
Christian. What about the children of Jericho?
Sir, you're a pagan.
The children of the
slaves? You are a pagan. You are not a Christian. You are a pagan. You are not
what
a Christian. Don't answer
that. God killed
you are a pagan.
In the great flood.
My friend, you're a pagan. You're not an ordained minister.
What about
minister?
The daughter of Jephthah?
You're not a,
who
you're
he
not,
accepted
you're
as
a coward and you're a spineless
no, you're being very
coward.
Selective.
No, ma'am, no. Please don't kill any babies
hey,
here. We'd love
think,
to help you.
I don't think
no,
that
sir.
God
you're
would
a
spineless,
spineless
coward.
Absolutely. Read the book of Revelation. God calls millions of people spineless cowards. You are a spineless coward, my friend.
Okay.
You are a spineless coward. Yeah. You agree with the abortionist, right? You agree with the abortionists?
I don't think
you
should.
You nod
right,
your head.
Brother,
you no, right? No. You're not doing anything. You're not doing anything.
I'm talking to you right
no,
now.
No, you're not doing
you
anything.
Of,
I don't want
of,
your message.
Hope,
I don't want
love.
Your wicked message and your spineless, cowardly message.
Right.
I don't want it.
Right.
Yeah, I know. You're so high and mighty. You don't know anything about the gospel.
I'm the one that's high and mighty.
Yeah. What
I'm
is the gospel?
My way to work.
What is the gospel? What is the gospel? What is the gospel?
Dude,
what is the gospel? No, what is the gospel,
okay?
You spineless coward? What is the gospel?
Is that the language that God
would Yeah, read the book of Revelation. He calls guys like you spineless cowards. Hey, God bless.
Okay, so folks, there's the battle. It's within the church. Do you understand? It's within the church. Grace, and no judgment. No judgment. And so here's this pastor. Calls himself a pastor, shows up where they're murdering babies, and all he wants to do is argue with the guy who's trying to save the babies. Is that a microcosm of what we see going on in America or what? There it is. There it is, right in front of us. Joe Allen, come on in, Joe.
Boom. How many fish, Jesus fish, we see on the back of these cars, Coach, when they come up there and abort their babies?
Yeah, yeah.
Christian signs on the back of their vehicles.
Amen.
Where else are you going to get this show like this? Buy a hat, buy a t-shirt. Support
hey,
Salt and Light.
Thanks, Joe.
That's it.
You guys, look, I'm not, look, please understand this. I'm not moaning. I'm not groaning. I'm not at all. Do you understand what an outcast I am? Do you have any idea locally what an outcast I am? And I don't know. Maybe there's one. I don't know if there's a more public Christian than me. I don't hide my Christianity at all anywhere I go. And Betty, they think I'm a freak. They think I'm a radical, right? You guys think I'm a radical? You guys think I'm a freak? See, huh? No, because see, we've Evil men have crept in and changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature. In other words, I'm okay. You're the gospel of I'm okay. You're okay. That's the gospel in America today. Who are you to judge? Right? Folks, that's the battle. That's the battle. And the whole creation is groaning, waiting for folks like you to show up. And if you think it's a popularity contest, and everybody's going to pat you on the back, and they're going to invite you into the pulpits to speak, you're drunk. You're drunk. Because the gospel's been changed. Johnny, come on in. And Jeff.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of the term delusionary. Our pastor talked about it yesterday in church. We live in a world of delusion. Yep. You're not delusionary, Coach. You're on target. You're awake. That, I never understood the term woke. I don't know a group of people who couldn't be more asleep. Where do they come up with that term woke?
I don't know.
We're the ones that are awake.
We are.
They're not.
They're not at all.
That's all I get to say.
I love this show. I love you guys out there because I know deep down inside we're getting it, aren't we? We're starting to get it. We're starting to get it. Go ahead, Jeff. Hey, Spencer, get ready then. Hang on. Get number two ready. I want to show some people. Go ahead.
Remember, we're in New Orleans, and we were part of the abortion clinic. All you left, and I stayed behind. And hell, Satan.
Yep.
And I was talking about the demon rats. Well, ruin the economy deliberately. And they were backing it up. Hell, Satan.
Wow. Hey, folks, there ain't no demilitarized zone. And the church has tried to become a demilitarized zone. Okay. Now, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. And this might offend somebody. But frankly, my dear, that's not my intention. I don't give a damn. Okay. This is Pastor James David Manning. He just ran as a write-in candidate in New York City. Most of you didn't know that. He lives in Harlem. I haven't spoken to him in a long time. I consider him to be a friend. I hope we're still friends. We delivered bread to Dr. Manning. I did a lot of on-the-street ministry at Atla, his church in Harlem, New York. Yes, I did. I took a lot of people with us. We've been there a number of times. I haven't spoken to Dr. Manning in I don't know how long. But I want you to listen to this for a second. And listen to what Dr. You can wear your racist glasses if you want to. That's okay. You can go ahead and wear those if you want to. I want you to listen to what Dr. Manning said. A black man. What if I were to say this? What if Randy were to say this? What if the average white guy in the pulpit were to say this? See, racism is a fraud, folks. It is a fraud. Most people are not racist. They've just told us they are. They've just told us they are. Barack Obama. Well, go ahead. Just play a few minutes of this. I'm going to put it in the chat, and I want you to listen to it later. Dr. James David, I'm going to try to call him, see if I can get him on the show. He just ran as a write-in candidate. He hates Trump. He sees what's going on. Just listen. Hey, imagine this guy was white. Go ahead.
Tell you something about black folk. Let me tell you something about Negroes. Let me tell you something about niggas. Now, this is not racist or anything. Praise the Lord. But Satan used an African man and a white trash woman to give birth to this wicked spirit called Barack Hussein Obama. Barack's father did what 70% of all black men do, run off and leave and don't support. He is not black. He's white trash. He's white trash. Barack Hussein Obama is white trash. I hate Barack Hussein Obama, who is nothing but a long-legged devil right out of the pit of hell. And if you don't mind my saying it, Jesus hates him too. You got children you haven't taken care of. And if you can't take care of your own children, how can you then say you're ready to choose a president to take care of the nation? I'm not responsible for it. I'm just trying to show you how no good you are. And yet you want to talk about choosing a black man to be your president. You have no honor. You have no honor. You make babies like Aunt Jemima makes biscuits. Now get angry about that. So I got news for you about niggas. The way they t- turned on Bill for Barack, I don't have to worry about them being against me. They'll come on back. They're fickle. They're not committed to anything. And if they commit to something, you can't trust them. They don't stay with anything very long. So if they mad with me now, y'all be glad with me tomorrow. All I got to do is get some government cheese and run through three government programs through here. And I do declare every nigga in Harlem will be coming to this church for the government program. And I know it. And I know it's the truth. Thank you, Elder. But I know it's the truth. Where about these folks being upset with you? I know y'all's behavior. That's right. That's who they are. That's who they are. Obama. That's who they're saying now. Obama. This Barack Hussein Obama is being catapulted into the position where he's at right now, not because of his character, but because of the color of his skin. This is anti-Dr. King. I said this is blatant racism. It is destroying the dream. It is anti-Dr. King. You don't know nothing about the man's character, and that what you know is not good, but you know that he's black, and that's all you want to know. And so when we talk about his wife, Michelle Obama looks like King Kong's baby sister. That woman's not beautiful. I mean, she, first of all, her upper lip looks like she's smelling her upper lip, and then the bottom one looks like she's got a dip of snuff in it. That's about the ugliest woman. I mean, if Whoopi Goldberg and Michelle Obama were in a beauty contest, Whoopi would win. I mean, what's this business about how beautiful she is? Plus of all, she's a big old Amazon woman. I'm a man, I'm 6 foot two, 225, 240 pounds myself. But I wouldn't be caught dead with a woman that big. Barack's out there in Honolulu trying to convince Michelle to fist bump Obama. By the way, if my wife, Elizabeth here, y'all see her, if this woman you see here, seated as my wife, ever greeted me with a fist bump, I'd give her a left hook. What's this business with Michelle giving everybody the old fist bump? What is she, some running back for the Chicago Bears? What's going on with that?
Okay, you can stop right there, So, folks, hey, now, they're probably going to call me a racist for even playing this, right? Do you understand how they've programmed us? Do you understand what's happened in the American church? The line that he said was so true that they voted Obama in direct opposition to what Martin Luther King said. Martin Luther King says, judging by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. Do you see what they've done to us? Do you see what's going on? There shouldn't be a black church and a white church. They promote those all they can. Divide, 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 divide. The spirit of the Bible says where the spirit of the Lord is, there's unity. What spirit are they of? What spirit are these people of that are supporting the killing of unborn children? The programming of our children, pastors not speaking out about the transgenderism being taught to little children. Bible said it'd be better to put a millstone around your neck than to do that. What's going on? What's going on? Well, I'm all over the place today, aren't I? I'm all over the place. But if you can't see, can anybody imagine if a supporter of Donald Trump had planted a bomb? It would be 24-hour, 7-day-a-week expose of that person. We would know what kind of underwear they wear. We would know who their high school boyfriend was. We would know what basketball. Come on now. Come on now. And so if we can't see the manipulation that's going on, if we can't with our eyes understand what's going on, if we don't have the discernment to understand, what hope is there for everybody else? The people who are watching this show right now, most of you are waking up, or you are awake, not woke. Your eyes are either opened or getting opened. And a lot of your friends will say, don't watch Coach Dave. Don't watch him. Don't watch. It's a cult. It's a call to truth. It's a call to truth. You come here, we give you the truth. Yeah, we get in some arguments about theological issues, the rapture, all that stuff, Israel. We get all that. But other than that, we do the truth here. And you know this, no matter who you are right now at Coach Dave Live, you can bring up any subject you want to. And I won't say, we're not going to talk about that. Or I'm not, I don't believe that. I'm not, you know, that's not true. Right. And so as a result, then we have been programmed from the time you walked into kindergarten to believe the person standing in front of you. And you pay and I pay for our little kindergarten kids to go into a classroom where the lady up in front is king. Then you go to the first grade and you got a different king. And then you go to the third grade, you got a different king. And then you go to high school and you got six different kings because you're taking six different, you know what I'm telling you, right? That the person in front of you is telling the truth. Somebody help me out here. How are our pulpits any different? I got 5 minutes. Somebody come on in. Wrap this up for me. Do I now come? Paul said, do I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? We've been so programmed. Betty, come on in.
Yes, great show. And it's sad. Our churches do not speak truth. And even when we go to the, like when we stand on the street, I've had a couple of people even try to run me and my dog over. It's pretty sad. So,
Betty, the Christians scorn you, do they not?
Yeah.
You're making them look bad, Betty. You're making them look bad.
Yep. And see, I've mentioned that to the pastor out in Friends Church. And I said, you need to come out. Even we, the people, come out. Nope. Nobody wants to show up, and it's so sad.
Betty, can you imagine a football game where there wasn't a coach?
Yeah, they would look like a lot of us scrambling around, not knowing which way to go, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And also, you know, Michelle is Michael LaVon Robinson. I've seen their wedding pictures, but once Obama got in, that all disappeared. And Michael, he was born July of 1964. So he was uglier in his wedding pictures than he is now.
if we ever get to the end of it, this is all going to lead back to Barack Hussein Obama. You know that, don't you? Rochelle, quickly, come on in.
Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the pastor and the confrontation, or the ordained minister and the confrontation he had with the man outside the abortion clinic.
Right.
If we are not, okay, we don't have, as a Christian, we don't have any defense against somebody coming up to us and saying, hey, well, what about the Old Testament when God sent all these people in to kill everything? Mm-hmm. We don't have any defense if we don't tell them the truth. If you read the Bible, it says in Genesis 6 that the fallen angels mated with women and created an unsanctioned race.
Amen.
And these beings continued to mate with men and formed tribes. And that is who the Israelites were sent in to kill.
Amen.
Because these people were cannibals. And if we don't understand this is the truth, this is our history, this is what they are hiding, we don't have any defense against that man coming up to us and say, well, what about this and what about that?
Yep.
You have to tell the truth. What pastor out there has told us about Genesis 6? Who does that? No one.
No one.
Why can't we have the truth so that we can fight back against the lies that we have been told our entire adult Christian lives? If we're afraid to go there, we're not going to gain any ground.
Hey, Michelle, the Bible says that I believe it. That settles it. That's what they say, right? And they don't even read the Bible.
They don't read the Bible. If they would read the Bible, they would know Genesis 6. They would know that we are sent out against these crazy beings. And here's the thing. When Jesus came and he says, hey, I've come first for the lost tribes of Israel, and then he takes it out and sends people out, he says to preach to every creature.
Amen.
Why would he say that? Because
they're not all human.
That's right. We're not all human. They were called Canaanites because you have Canaan teeth, guys. That's from dogs.
Canines.
Jesus called that woman a dog, didn't she? Was he lying? No, she was probably a mixed breed. Okay. I'm sorry, but if we don't face the truth, our Bible is, we don't have any defense. Thank you.
Amen. Oh, geez. I love this. Huh? This is so good. Jack, quickly, you got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, the answer is we're not taught to win. We're only taught to confront. That's not right. To win. Don't win. Don't win.
No. We're taught to give in. We're taught to give in for sure. Randy.
If
Coach, all we got to say is that the kingdom of God has come to you. Just like Jesus said, if I'm casting out devils, then it's proof the kingdom of God has come to you.
Amen. Amen. All power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. See you tomorrow.